All right. Well, Maisa, it took a while, took a couple of days extra, but it's finally good to be back in the saddle. Hopefully by tomorrow everybody will be back in yeshiva. Now, a lot of people asked me beginning of the week, towards the middle of the week, so how was your Bein Hazmanim? And the answer to that was, Baruch Hashem, quiet, because after the last Zman, so the thing that I really, really needed was quiet. Yataina, there was a war going on. A siren here, a siren. It really wasn't too terrible. And for the most part, it was quiet, except for one incident, which is what I want to talk about today, which Lemaisa finished up, I hope, unless it comes back to haunt us again. It finished up a week ago on Erev Shabbos. A week ago, Erev Shabbos, jumped right to the end. I came downstairs about 45 minutes before, the Shabbos siren goes off. Everything is a siren over here. And I come downstairs. The front door of our apartment is open. The front door of the apartment across from us is also open. And my next door neighbor, who's an older man, his wife now hasn't been so well over the last year. Right now she's presently in a nursing home to take care of her. He goes there every once in a while. But he's there in his apartment, up on a very tall ladder, up on top, fiddling with the fire alarm, the smoke alarm, smoke detector. My wife is in the apartment over there, puttering around his kitchen and trying to make some Seder, cleaning up some, this and that and the other thing, opening up all the windows, airing out the place and everything. And the alarm clock, the fire alarm is going off sporadically, every once in a while. And he's getting all flustered, like, why is this thing going on? And, she's just like, just air out the place, it's going to be okay. After a couple of minutes, he comes down off the ladder. It's quiet, no alarm. My wife says to him, listen, now you have to really mop your floor. And he says, yeah, for sure, I'm going to mop the floor. And that was the end of the incident. Now, what I learned from that incident was an interesting thing. First of all, there was no fire in the apartment. There was no smoke in the apartment. But the way that my wife reported it was that the apartment was so stuffy and the air was so thick and there were so many fur balls and all kinds of lint and everything like that, that, the smoke alarm is not only sensitive apparently to smoke, but other things can make it go off. But how does that happen? How did it happen without a fire? So that's the rest of the story that I want to tell you about how it happened in the first place. And that was maybe the most interesting incident over my Bein Hazmanim, which Lemaisa also has to do with the Parsha of the Week. And it has to do with the Sfiras Omer. And it also has to do with starting a new Zman, particularly the summer Zman here in Yeshiva at the end of a long year. Now, Parshas Achrei Mos starts off with a very famous pasuk and a very famous mashal. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe, Hashem speaks to Aaron, Acharei Mos, Shnei Bnei Aaron, Bekarvasam Lifnei Hashem, Vayemusu. So Moshe speaks to Aaron and he says, when did he speak to Aaron? After Aaron's two sons, Nadav and Avihu, die. Rashi asks the obvious question, what in the world did it have to tell us? Acharei Mos, Shnei Bnei Aaron. What does it have to do with the whole tzivui? The tzivui over here is going to be simply, don't go into the Kodesh Kodashim, except for on Yom Kippur and the whole Avoda of Yom Kippur. Why do you have to mention Nadav and Avihu? Why do you have to mention Misa Shnei Bnei Aaron? Hayy Rabbi Elezer ben Azaria Mashloi Mashal. He said a mashal. A mashal is a very powerful tool. Everybody knows that, you can explain with a mashal very, very abstract ideas, and people will understand it because of a mashal, even though they wouldn't understand it without the mashal. Mashal l'chayle sh'nichnas etzel reife. The sick guy goes to the doctor, amalei al teichot zaynin v'al tishkav b'machbe Make sure you get your exercise. Make sure you eat your vitamins. Make sure you have your Wheaties. You know, take care of yourself. And what does the guy say? Okay, fine, nechte getug. But then the other doctor said, but then the doctor says to him, Al techel tsoinen, al tishka betachavel doi, Thomas kederach shemeis pleni. Make sure you have your vitamins. Make sure you eat your Wheaties. Make sure you get enough exercise. Otherwise, you're going to be dead like your friend is. Okay, now it hits home. Why? Because he was mushloy mushel. But let's ask ourselves for a second, what exactly is that power? What's the power of the mushel? Why is it that when we take a story like this, when we bring somebody else dying into the picture, why is it that it hits us so much harder? Or even a less obvious mushel, you know, you have some kind of abstract idea and I bring it into human terms by telling a story about something. Or just some kind of a metaphor. What's the power of a mushel? Another question, Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer, I don't know what the Mashgiach talked about last night in the Shmuz, but okay, in the Vadim every year, you know, the mucker for Sfiras HaOmer, the thing that everybody talks about with Sfiras HaOmer is, again, we talked about the Sefer HaChinuch in the Shir earlier. The Sefer HaChinuch on Sfiras HaOmer is famous. What's the reason that we count? Laharois b'nafshenu achifetz agadol El Hayoim Anichbad Anichsaf Lilibeinu. It's to show how much we desire that day of Matan Torah. Ke'eved Yishaf Tzeil, like a slave who wants to get in the shade, he's in the beating hot sun. Fiyimne Tomid, and he's always counting Masa Yavaya Esa Nichsaf, he loves Shietzalacheras. So we count towards Sfira because we're dying to get to Matan Torah. But the sphere is very interesting. Number one, the Chinuch himself asks this, and he really, you know, he gives an answer to it, is that when you're counting towards something that you desire, usually you count down. 10, 9, 8, 5, 4, let's say, all eight, until finally you're down to one. And he gives a reason. But there's something else. What's the nusach of the sphere? Usually when you count days, so you say, Ayom Yom Rishayim, this is the first day, Ayom Yom Sheni, this is the second day, this is the third day, this is the fourth day. By Sfira, we don't do that. We Bedavka don't do that. Hayom Yom Echad Ba'Omer. This is one day in the Omer. You know, like a mushla, you got a suitcase and you're filling it with pearls. This is the first day in the Omer. Or La Omer, right? This is the first day for the Omer, yeah? Ayom Shnei Yomim, 2 days in the Omer. 3 days in the Omer. 4 days in the Omer. And with Bedavka, that makes sense. You're going up instead of down. But what is this process? What exactly are we supposed to be doing when we count the Omer? And it's very important to count the Omer because we're going from Pesach till Shavuos. What's this whole counting process? What are we doing? Counting up and saying that each day is another day in the Omer. And finally, a third question, more on the spooky side type of question. The Svarim HaKadoshim say a very interesting thing about the Yemei HaSfira. In the Maral already, many people say that Yetzias Mitzrayim was a Leda. The Navi in Yecheskel says that the pasuk "Umoldei Tayich b'yom uledes Eisach" refers to the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael's birth was at Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Yemei HaSfira, I don't know anything about these things, but this week I was taught that anybody who's, you know, holding on those levels, you know, he's like Shlomo HaMelech with you know, all everything except Parah Aduma. There's somebody davens with all the kavanas of the Arizal and all the hechera kavanas and everything. You don't do that during Sfira. Only at Sfira Soimer itself. Then, but Shemona Esrei, no kavanas Arizal. Why? Because during the Yemei HaSfira, if we were born on Pesach, Yemei HaSfira were kids, were ketanim. Avodas Arizal is not for kids. Don't try this at home. You got to know what you're doing, right? So we're kids. And then what happens at Matan Torah? Matan Torah is Kabbalah Satorah. We become B'nei Chiyuv. It's our Bar Mitzvah. So you have a very interesting progression going over here from our birth to being Ketanim to being Kabbalah and being Mekabel all Torah Mitzvahs to becoming Bar Mitzvah, or in other words, we become Gedolim. How does the process work? What's it got to do with putting away the days of the Yomer? And also, how do we understand with this the power of a mashal? All right, let me get back to my story. How did it come to be that my next door neighbor ended up having his smoke detector going off without any smoke? So it happened on the last day of Chol Hamoed Pesach. Last night, Chol Hamoed Pesach, came back from the Beis Medrash about 11:15, 11:30. And I come in there, and my wife is sitting there in the living room on the phone. And my son Menachem is sitting next to her, and she looks very distraught. I was like, what's going on? She says, we have a problem. And I said, well, what's the problem? So Menachem was there. My wife was away. She was at work. And Menachem was there. And Menachem says, you know, about an hour and a half ago, this van pulled up to the front of the house. And this guy comes in with, some small furniture, three big dogs. And he comes into the neighbor's apartment, who was away. He was with his wife in the nursing home for the whole of Pesach. He sold the apartment, you know, for the chametz and everything like that. It was sold to the guy. And this guy comes in with his three beasts. Now, we knew who he was. My wife calls up the Baldira, and she says, you know, somebody's in your apartment? He's like, oh, yeah, no problem. That's my nephew. He just moved in now. She's like, do you know that he has three dogs? Yeah, there's three dogs. Well, why? You don't like dogs? It's like, you do? They're pretty big. They're huge. They're more like horses. He's like, I guess you're right. You know, they are pretty wild. They kind of jump on you sometimes or whatever it is. They're not the friendliest dogs or whatever. And my wife is like, he's got these three dogs next door with this guy who moved in. And it's worse than that because we experienced with him before. He's come to visit. And he's a pretty threatening character. And first of all, you look at him, he looks like he's spent, you know, serious time in the weight room. And he's ad kedei kach that my son, Menachem, you know, whatever, he's not slouch himself. He's like, I'm not knocking on that guy's door. So what are we going to do? We have the nephew and we have the dogs. And it's just a machlekes as to which is the bigger problem of the two. So how do you get rid of him? Kitzer, my wife, had talked to the guy, and to make a longer story short, by the next morning, so the nephew already realized that, the dogs at least were persona non grata, or dogs non grata, however you want to say it, or whatever. And so he was already, you know, came to us, begged literally, you know, whatever it is, you know, I have no place to go, and maybe I could stay for 4 or 5 weeks with the dogs, and I'll keep them inside, and even during the sirens, I'll just stay up with them, and if I have to walk them, I'll walk them at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you won't hear about this at all. Okay. I also found out who the guy's, patron is in town, who takes care of this guy, an interesting character. And I went to talk to him. I was like, you know, my high, what's going on over here? And we're just like an unexpected guest. So he told me, no, don't worry. I know how to take care of the situation. But if it's okay, you know, can he at least stay for Yontif? And you'll just, you know, just report to me that he's behaving and he's keeping the dogs inside the apartment. So I said, okay, no problem. You know, my wife was okay with it as long as he keeps the dogs inside. So he stayed over Yontif. He came over. We schmoozed with him a little bit. He told us that, you know, actually there weren't only three dogs in there. There were actually four. It was a mother and three puppies. I don't know how big those puppies are going to be when they're fully grown. He said the mother is an Alaskan Husky, gorgeous dog. And the father, he said, was some kind of desert species or something. And both are wild, so he breeded them together and created these other three monsters, which have like tan fur and blue eyes or something like that. You know, it's the kids are... He was good, though. He kept these dogs inside the house for 3 days straight. The only time they came out was to go on the porch to bark and play with the neighborhood's kids. And true to his words, so my friend, after Yontif was over, Isru Chag, Isru Chag, the night of Isru Chag, a little My Car, you know, those things that they have over here, City Car, My Car, that was like about the size of this table, pulls up, the guy's girlfriend or whatever, comes and they jam four big dogs into the back seat, and he comes in with his box, and they pull off. And that was the end of the story. Now what happened, though, is that the owner came back. And unlike the nephew, who at least let the dogs outside or whatever it is, kept the windows closed. And you have 4 days worth of fur going on in there. And you have all the other stuff. And after a while, it just builds up and builds up and builds up and builds up into a critical mass. Well, you don't even need smoke to make the smoke alarm go off. There's just so much filth in there that, you know, Now, if that can happen on a level that's just, like, gross, so it can happen on a level of something that's good also. And that's the mice of what's supposed to happen with Sphere assignment. The word katan and the word gadol, very interesting. Katan, the sherish of katan is kut. Kuf tes, like keta. Means a fragment. A child, when he's growing up, children are very moody, you know, they're gonna be happy 1 second, they're very angry the other second. He's all a product of what's happening to him. And very spontaneous. His whole life experience is not, you know, gelled yet. He's very fragmented. That's what a katan is. By the time a person develops, he develops into a gadol. The root of gadol is gimel dalid. God, good achis mechitzta, good asik mechitzta. It means a progression. It means a hemshich. It means something that is just gelled together and it goes on. And that's what happens when you become a gadol. Sfiras ha'omer, which is what starts at the Leida of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which in our terms, what it really means is that, listen, I'm free. I don't belong to this society and this world that I have to do what everybody else is doing. You know, we talked yesterday about a secular college, and everybody could give their own mashal. I don't have to be subordinate to everything that the society... I have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm a free man. I can pursue what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to pursue. I can be Dovik Bashem. That's the purpose of my life. But I'm free. But that doesn't happen in a minute. What happens is that, you know, sometimes you feel like it, sometimes you don't feel like it. It's still fragmented. And what you need to do is you need to have a process of taking all those fragments and putting it together. And every day, you take another day of reflection and you put it into the pot. Hayom echad ba'emer. Shnei yamim ba'emer. Shleishi yamim ba'emer. Until finally the end, we have all of those days of experience. And what happens is we become gedolim, it all gels together. In a certain way, that's basically what we do when we hear a mashal. What's the difference between hearing an abstract idea and hearing an abstract idea and applying it to real life with a mashal? And I just have an idea, so the idea is mufshat. It's just totally abstract. But when I live it, when I've experienced it, so then it becomes part of me. It becomes part of that snowball effect. So you have something small, and then it becomes part of you, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's what the sphere is supposed to be all about. Maisa, I always say it at the beginning of Summer's Man. And it's a Dover Pashit, you know. Summer's Man is taken for granted. People look at it as the home stretch, but the home stretch, a lot of times people are going to try to lunge to the finish. What we often forget is that Summer's Man, if you use it properly, is riding on the coattails the rest of the year. And so therefore, you know, we always have a handicap at the beginning of the year. You got to figure things out. Well, how's it going to be this? How's it going to be this year? What's going to change this, that? You have to figure out a new system. You have to figure out a new position in yeshiva. You have to figure out new roommates or whatever. By the time Summer's Man comes around, you got it already. You know what to expect. So you can really apply yourself and you can snowball it and take everything that you had up until that point and you can build on it. And like a svira, that's the opportunity that you have. I always like to mention it, to say the great part of Avraham Noach Weinberg with Avraham Avinu. That Avraham Avinu, it says, you know, towards the end of his life, Parshas Chayisara. So it says, Avraham Avinu was Zokein Ba Beyomin. He was old, and he came with his days. But what do you mean? If you don't come with your days, then you're dead. So if you're old, so of course you're Ba Beyomin. What does it mean, Baba Yamin? Zakrum Noyach, think about how many days you've had in your life. You guys are still young, but you can still use it. It applies to everybody. How many days? You're 20 years old. Multiplied by 365 days times 20. How many days have you had in your life? How many days of those 20 years have you actually used to grow? And how many hours of those days have you used to grow? And how many minutes of those hours? Put all told, however many days you've had, how many days in your entire life have you really used in order to grow? Small fraction, right? Avraham Avinu was like a Sfira Saimer. He was Bab Yamin. He came with all of his days. All of his days. When he was sleeping, that was constructive sleeping, eating constructive sleep, and constructive eating. Every single thing that he did brought with him the total Sfiras Omer, totally cumulative. Not just counting, oh, this is the second time I'm doing it, it's the third time I'm doing it, it's the fourth time I'm doing it, and certainly not counting down. But everything is cumulative. One goes to two, and two goes to three, and inside the three, there's the two, and inside the ten, there's the nine. Because it snowballs. And if it snowballs so much that you can even have air because you don't, you know, let out the dog fur or whatever else was there, that you could set off a smoke alarm. So certainly when it comes to Kedusha, Mida Taiva Maruba, so it builds and it builds and it builds and it builds. So just want to, what's it called, wish everybody tremendous Hatzlacha in the Zman, taking everything that they gained up until this point and, you know, taking it a step further. It should be a snowball effect. And Be'ezras Hashem, so it should be the beginning of a great Sfira and a great, what's it called, the great Tekufa of Kedusha. And everybody should have a wonderful Zman and have a wonderful Shabbos.